Praise God. God is a good God. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm excited today to come talk to you and bring the word. You know, this week has been a kind of odd week here in the, well, all over the world, I guess, not just in the United States of America. Obviously, the word of the week is coronavirus, if you haven't figured that out yet. That's all they talk about on TV. That's all they talk about. You know, anywhere you go, all you hear is about a virus. You know, it seems like they're worshiping a virus. That's all we talk about. And so tonight, I'm just going to talk to you about some things, both naturally and spiritually, about what the Word of God says. You know, basically what's happening today is that we have fear and panic that has overtaken this nation. You know, and I think it's halfway driven by the media. But what does the Word say about fear? 2 Timothy, chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 7. All of you can probably quote this. I don't even have to read it. But it says this: "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Now, the Bible literally says that we should not fear over anything. Because you know what the Bible says? If God be for us, who can be against us? That we know that God is the answer to any of our problems. We know that Jesus is the answer. We sing about that all the time. Remember, Jesus is the answer for the world today. And you know, we all know, I've been putting the equation out there, that Jesus is greater than anything. You know, so you can say Jesus is greater than the coronavirus. All right, but many of you have been focusing on the wrong thing. You've been focusing on a virus instead of focusing on Jesus. Because when you focus in on Jesus and put things in perspective, it's not as scary as it thinks, as you think. But let's also put some things in perspective. Now, we believe at this ministry, you've heard my dad say it many times, the natural and the supernatural coming together, making us close to force for God. Anyone ever heard that before? Now, I personally believe that we should do everything naturally to protect against that. You know, things like washing your hands, you know, things like good hygiene, you know, all those things, you know, those are natural things and those are good things. In fact, if we would have started this back in September, many of you wouldn't have got the flu this season. Do you realize most of these things that we're doing is helping people from catching the flu? Now, I'm just going to share some statistics with you. It might blow you away. Two people in Tulsa have the coronavirus. Two people. Now, there might be other people we don't know about. But, I mean, the chances, and both those two people are quarantined, for the chances of you catching it is not very good. Now, the chances of you catching the flu is really good. Because there's more than two people that have the flu. Now, I'm not trying to downplay the virus, okay? I mean, you know, there's people have died, and that is serious, okay? But what I'm pointing out is, remember when we were little kids, like first grade, I know we've all were different kids at different ages or whatever, but probably most of you all played this game where somebody in your grade had the cooties. Remember that? And don't let that person touch you so they might get the cooties. So if you kind of pretend two people in Tulsa have the cooties, so don't hang around those two people in Tulsa. That's pretty easy. That means you can probably go most everywhere except for those people's houses. All right. Another thing in perspective, let's think about, you know, here in Oklahoma, we don't get a lot of snow. We actually got some snowfall. People should be happy if people like snow. We had some snowfall. But, I mean, you know, so worst case scenario, at least right now, I mean, they said probably the death rate of the coronavirus is 1% to 2%. Well, let's say 3% is the worst I've heard so far. So 3%. That means if you actually contracted it, there's a 97% chance that you're going to survive. All right, if I was here to tell you, I mean, let's say the weatherman actually posted on the thing and say, you know what, guys, there's a 3% chance of snow tonight. So go out and stock up on milk and bread and everything because there's a 3% chance it might snow. Do you realize in Oklahoma, during about half the year, there's a 3% chance you're going to have a tornado? And you're not prepared for a tornado most of the time because, I mean, well, it's not going to happen probably. Well, that's the point. It's probably not going to happen. It's probably not going to happen. You know, and that's kind of like, remember, well, I don't remember because I wasn't alive, but December the 8th, 1941, President Roosevelt came on. He says, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. I mean, because people are thinking, well, I'm going to get bombed in my home. You know, things like that. But, you know, now, should we take precautions? Obviously, we need to. But let's not panic. Now, here's something that's actually really scaring me more than anything else. Do you realize at the rate we're going, there's going to be some people who do not have toilet paper coming up in the next few weeks? Do you know what kind of epidemic that would bring? I mean, you realize, you know, whether we like to admit it or not, everybody in this world needs toilet paper. And if you don't have some, that's going to be a whole lot more scary. Because you're going to have to get creative. Now, I do want to go on record is, you know, some people, I know you can't get those masks anymore, but toilet paper does not work as a mask, okay? So so I don't know what the hysteria about toilet paper, you know, I saw a person on Facebook the other day posted, they were actually on the soap aisle, they're trying to look for some soap for, you know, to wash their hands and stuff, because, you know, they're supposed to, and there was no soap to wash their hands. So it said, you know, the whole purpose of this for us all be clean is to make sure you leave enough for all of us to actually wash our hands, because you know what? If you're washing your hands and I can't, then you might get the virus. Now, I'm trying to be funny, but I'm being serious. I mean, you know, we can't panic over all kinds of stuff. I mean, you know, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. We shouldn't be afraid. All right, now, it doesn't mean we shouldn't take precaution. I mean, just like every flu season, we should take precaution. And I know we don't know exactly, you know, the rate and things like that, but, you know, people are going out of their minds right now. You're going out of their minds. And I get it. We should try the best we can to prevent, you know, the spread and things. But as of yet, at least here in Oklahoma, we don't have what they call community spread. We have a few cases, and both of those situations, they came from Italy. And they kind of know where they got that. So as long as we keep people out from Oklahoma from coming here, then we'll be okay. You know. So, let's go to the 91st Psalm. Most of you can know that. But I read the 91st Psalm today, and I read it from the New Living Translation, and it talks about viruses and things even more than the other translations. So Psalms 91, the New Living Translation, starts out and says this: those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Well, so first of all, in order to find rest, you have to live in the shelter of the Most High. You have to realize, you know what? God is your shelter. God is your source. You know, a lot of people are not finding rest right now because they don't realize that God's their source. And God has this under control. It goes on to say, this I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge and my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him. I have to understand, you know, it's in God I trust. In fact, it's on your money. Right here. In God we trust. You know, it's also Mark 11:22, have faith in God. You know, whenever times of panic come, we just have to have faith in God. And if we can't trust God, who can we trust? You know, my faith is in God's, not in the government. You know, I understand the government's doing all they can do. I mean, you know, and, you know, it's not President Trump's fault, whether you like it or not. You know, it's no politician's fault, not the Democrats, not the Republicans, not nobody. It's not even, you know, some guy in Wuhan that started the whole thing to begin with. It's not really their fault. It's just something that happened. You know, and we have things like this, you know, that happen throughout the years. I mean, you know, we've all gone through different kinds of viruses. And, you know, a few years ago, people were yelling, Zika, Zika, Zika. Remember that? Yeah, I went on a cruise, and we went to the Caribbean Islands, and people were afraid about getting Zika here and Zika there and all that kind of stuff. Do you know what most people are really afraid of? We're afraid of the unknown. Do you realize that I'm here to say that probably 100% of you at some time in your life has had the flu? How many in your life has had the flu at some point in time in your life? I don't care if it's type A, type B, type C, the swine flu, the chicken flu, the H1N1, or all these kind of flus. We've all probably had it at some point in our life. You know, hopefully you hadn't had it for a while, you know, but you've had the flu. So you know what the flu feels like. And in fact, most of you can tell whenever you, well, you should be able to tell. You used to be able to tell whenever you had flu-like symptoms that you had the flu. Now you're like, well, do I really have the flu? Or do I have this coronavirus? Have my friends gone anywhere overseas? You know, and that's the bad part about being here at Rhema. We meet people from all over the place. And, you know, like, when's the last time you went home? I mean, you know, we're trying to figure out, you know. And and things like that. You know, you used to, you know, we knew what the flu felt like. But now, you know, you've never had this coronavirus. You had a coronavirus, by the way. A common cold is actually a coronavirus. But this is what they call a novel coronavirus, according to the expert. Because they asked a guy, one of these medical experts on TV, says, well, what should we call this? Should we call it COVID-19? Because that's, you know, what everyone said. No, that's too scientific. Just call it the novel coronavirus. Well, I thought like a novelty thing was like fun. This isn't a fun virus. You know, I don't know how it happened. But you know what? We are living in the last days. Do you realize that the Bible talks about living in the last days, that we'll have, you know, famines and plagues and all kinds of things? You know, and I know it's kind of scary. I get it, but you know what? We still got to trust God. You know, and if you're getting too scared, just turn your TV off. I mean, you know, so many of you anyway, you've actually unplugged, and so you just have Netflix and Hulu and all those. Just watch those kind of things. Don't watch like Contagion or something like that. Watch some kind of documentary, you know, about clowns or something. I don't care, you know. You know, watch the history of Bozo. It might help you. You know. So, and if you can't do anything else, just laugh. Because, you know, this is only temporal. Next year, you're talking about something else. I mean, there'll be something else big next year that you know, whatever. But hopefully it's not the toilet paper shortage of 2020. That would be a huge, huge issue. All right? So, let's go on to verse 3. And I like the New Living Translation says this: for he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. Deadly disease. Now, a lot of the stations are calling this a virus, but we've had a few of them call it a disease. Because you know what? Disease sounds worse. All right? But you know what? I don't care if it's a virus or a disease. According to Psalms 91:3, it says, for he will rescue from every trap. That means, you know, you're not going to fall into any trap, but also he's going to protect you from every disease. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't wash our hands and we don't do things in the natural. All right, we need to be doing things naturally, but you know what? He's going to protect us from every disease because, you know what? When we're doing everything that we can, you know, we're doing everything naturally, let God take care of the rest. You know, remember whenever Paul got bitten by a viper and they were waiting for him to die and he didn't die? Why did he not die? Because of God. God protected him. That's the same thing. You know what? Worst case scenario, you get the virus. All right? I mean, you know, so what? You're not going to die as long as you believe God. Now, I think we should do everything necessary not to get it, but you know what? I think you should do everything necessary not to get the flu either. You realize that? Because, I mean, I got the flu this year and it wasn't very fun. You know, I didn't feel well. I had a temperature. I had snot and all kinds of gross things coming out my nose and my mouth and, you know, it was gross. And we've all been there. You know, I'm not trying to say something. We've all been there. You know, and so I don't think we should, I think we should do everything necessary not to catch anything. But the Bible clearly says that God will protect us from deadly disease. And if you want to put it in the 2020 version, God, he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from the coronavirus, COVID-19, novel coronavirus or whatever, and anything else that comes his way. You realize he's going to protect you from viruses that haven't even been invented yet. In fact, you know, the Bible clearly says that Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago, took stripes on his back, and by his stripes, we were healed. Of everything that had a name, didn't have a name, going to be named, every disease that will ever hit mankind, we were healed from that 2,000 years ago, according to the Word of God. And we have a choice to believe it or not believe it. That's up to us. Now, here's the thing. Faith and fear cannot be in your heart at the same time. You're either going to have fear or you're going to have faith. And so when you listen to the fear mongers, you know, put fear in your head all day long, sometimes it's hard to have faith. You know, and so, And we you know the song we sing, whose report are we going to believe? We're going to believe the report of the Lord. Well, maybe we should read our Bible as much as we watch our TV sometimes. You know, and not just reading every scripture, but reading scriptures that pertain to this. You know, like here, that he'll protect us from every deadly disease. It goes on to say he'll cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Do not be afraid of the arrows of the terrors of the night, nor the arrows that fly in the day. And we live in broken air anyway, so those arrows will all be broken in the name of Jesus. Verse number 6 is another disease scripture. It says, do not dread the disease that stalks in the darkness. Or even if it stalks in the light, it doesn't really matter. Nor the disaster that strikes at midday. You know, so it says, the Bible clearly says, don't even dread it. Don't be worried about it. That's really what it says. That's what the Word of God says. Don't be worried about the disease that's stalking everybody else in the middle of the night. Because, you know, I know there are some people, not the people I really know closely, but I know there are some people in this world right now that can't even sleep because they're so afraid they're going to get the virus. And they have a better chance of getting cooties than the virus, but they're still afraid they're going to get the virus. Now, I do want to say, I'm not trying to be funny, but I am trying to be funny because I am funny. I actually read, and we read the other day that on an average, 2.2 people in America die from falling down the stairs every day. 2.2 people. So there's actually a better chance you might die falling down the stairs than getting the virus right now with only 2 people in Oklahoma having the virus. So please be careful. You're going to walk up and down stairs. And not just if you live in a 2-story building or apartment complex. I mean, especially some of those you know, stairs that are hard. That's really scary. You need to be careful walking up and down stairs. And we don't want you to die. 2.2 people did today. Now, I'm not sure who the 0.2 person was, but, you know, that's a... And I'm not trying to be funny, but I'm trying to be, you know, nobody here is really afraid of dying, walking up and down the stairs. Sadly, I actually read that 22 veterans die every day of suicide because of trauma that experienced during war. Every day, 22. Every day, not 22 overhaul in a year, 22 a day. I mean, after a while, you know, that would actually overtake our coronavirus, you know, things in just a couple of days. I'm not trying to say, you know, I'm trying to put things in perspective. 2 people a year die of shark attacks. Now, I know some people won't go in water for sharks anyway, even chances of getting a shark is, you know, you have a better chance of winning the publisher's clearinghouse sweepstakes than getting eaten up by a shark, by the way. Just want to let you know that. You actually probably have a better chance of winning the sweepstakes than actually catching the virus right now in Oklahoma. You know, maybe other states, you know, maybe. But so think about that for a minute. I mean, I've lived 50 years. I've tried many times and still haven't won that thing yet. I mean, they've had different people come to the door. It used to be Ed McMahon. You know, now I think it's Steve Harvey, and they never knocked on my door yet. You know, but I got lots of magazines. So, you know. That's a joke. I really don't. And one time I thought buying more magazines would give me a better chance, but it didn't work. I just want to let you know. All right, verse number 7. This is an important verse right here. Though 1,000 fall at your side, and though 10,000 are dying around you. I mean, that, you know, 10,000 people dying around you, that's quite a bit. 1,000 people that die immediately from your side. You know, because, you know, I heard people say, well, have you seen the, you know, pictures of Wuhan and people were dying. The Bible says, you know what? People are dying all around you. Well, what will happen to you? Well, according to the word, it says, these evils will not touch you. That's what the Bible says. No, I didn't say it. The Bible says it. Now, you have to believe they won't touch you. Understand, if you believe they're going to touch you, they're going to touch you. You're going to have whatever you believe. Do you realize that? If you think they're going to touch you, you're going to have, you know, whatever you fear the most is going to happen to you. I mean, you know, goes on to say, that's a lot of people dying. Verse number 8, just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter. Verse 10, no evil will conquer you and no plague will come near your home. Now, my mom when I was very young, my mom taught us the 91st Psalm. In fact, one thing that we've always done all our entire life, and I still do it today, is we used to always read the 91st Psalm every day, but then, you know, we all got to a point where we all knew what the 91st Psalm says. So this is what we say now, is we claim the 91st Psalm over us today. Every day. I claim the 91st Psalm over me and my kids every day. You know, protection. I know it doesn't matter what everybody else is, what's happened to everybody else. You know what? The Bible says that no plague shall come near your home. Now, you know, my grandfather always said this, I'm a stickler for the word. What does God's word say? Well, we're reading what the word says. Right here. No evil shall come near us. No plague shall come near our home. That's what the word of God says. I don't care if everybody else around you are getting this or getting that. All right? Goes on to say, for he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. I mean, how many times have you ever stumped your toe? I mean, maybe it wasn't on a stone, but ever you stumped it on the stairs or you know, usually what happens is in the middle of the night, you know, one of these natural things, most of us have to go to the bathroom at some point in time, middle of the night. You know, my granddaughter lives with me. She has toys. Sometimes she plays toys in my room. She leaves those toys in my room, and I smash those toys. I've even kicked the dog before, you know, I'm laying on the floor because, you know, I mean, it's middle of the night. I'm sleepy, all right? Not one of those dwarfs. I'm just sleepy. I mean, and tired. Sometimes you stump your toe, and it hurts. But the Bible says that we won't even hurt our foot on a stone. It goes on to say you will trample upon lions and cobras. That's kind of a big deal. I mean, you know, I haven't thought about how I'm going to go trample over lions and cobras. I kind of stay away from lions and cobras myself. I mean, I'm not sure about you. Maybe you guys, you know, like that. But it goes on to say that you will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. Well, I love God, so you know what? He's going to rescue me, according to the word. But the Bible says. Goes on to say, I will protect those who trust in my name. I trust in his name. He's going to protect me. When they call on me, well, I call upon them sometimes. You know what? He said, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with long life and give them my salvation. You know what? You can't have long life if you're going to die of a virus. Or you're going to die of anything. You know, the 91st Psalm tells us we can have long life. And you can't have long life if you die early. All right? I mean, if you die at 120, that's long life. I mean, you know, you die at 100, that's pretty long life. I mean, you know, whatever. But long life will I satisfy you. That's what, you know, that's what we've been promised. And so, you know, everything in here seems pretty positive. Now, you know, maybe it doesn't line up with science. Because I've heard people say, well, you know, we got to listen to the scientists. And yes, I understand. We got to know the facts. There's nothing wrong with knowing the facts. But you know what? When it comes to believing God, sometimes the facts doesn't matter. Sometimes they say, you know what? You're not going to make it. There's nothing we can do. But you know what? I got the 91st Psalm for me. Doesn't matter what everybody else is going to do. I don't care what they're going to do. I'm going to have to do what I'm going to do. What I'm going to do, I'm going to trust the Lord with all my heart, lean not to my own understanding. I'm going to stand on him. But, you know, but here's the thing. I don't know if you remember this. On Sunday morning, this past Sunday, Dad reminded us about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember that? You know, and Nebuchadnezzar built a statue of himself made of gold, 90 feet high, 9 feet wide. I mean, you think about your ultimate selfie. I mean, this guy must be proud of himself. But 90 feet high. I mean, think about that. I mean, you know, like 90 feet high, 9 feet wide. And said, you know what? We're going to play music and we're going to bow down to the picture of me. Talk about, you know, narcissistic and things like that. I mean, you know, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego decided not to bow down. They didn't bow down. And, you know, they gave him another chance. and said, you know what, you guys didn't bow down. We're going to give you another chance. Maybe you didn't hear the music. Maybe you guys are kind of going deaf here a little bit. You didn't hear the music. So we're going to play it again. And they played it again. They didn't bow down. So then they take him before Nebuchadnezzar and they say, King, you know, we're not going to bow down to you. I'm sorry, because the Bible says, see, the Bible says that we should have no other gods before our God. And so Nebuchadnezzar got mad. See, the best thing to do is never get mad, because when you get mad, you make stupid choices. He turned the fire 7 times hotter. You realize it was hot enough to burn him to death anyway, but now let's turn it 7 times hotter so we can burn him up 7 times faster, I guess, whatever. And the people who threw him in the fire, all bound up, actually died throwing him in the fire. You realize that? The people who threw them in the fire died. And they went into the fire all bound up. A few minutes later, now, which is a miracle anyway, we had a few minutes here. You know, the king looks in there, and here they are walking around. They went in bound up, and they're walking around, you know, singing, you know, I don't know what they're singing. He set me free. I don't know. I'm, you know, can't touch this. I don't know what they were singing. Doesn't matter what they were singing, you know. I know, made you laugh at least. So the thing is, they walked out of the fire. They walked out of the fire. You realize that? It said they didn't smell the smoke, which is probably one of the biggest miracles in the Bible. They did not smell of smoke. All right, remember back when you used to have no smoking sections, and if you sat in the smoking section, I mean, you come out of the restaurant, you smell like smoke. If you sat in the non-smoking section, close to the smoking section, you still smelled like smoke. These guys were in the fire and didn't smell like smoke. I know the last time, I'm not an outdoorsman type person, don't do a lot. Sometimes, though, we do, you know, roast marshmallows. The thing I don't like, the worst part about roasting marshmallows and hot dogs or whatever, is I smell like smoke. I don't like that because I'm not a smoker. Some of you maybe like smoke. I don't know. You know, but the thing is, they didn't smell the smoke at all, and they were in the middle of the fire. Now, my whole point is, we have the same God. We have the same Jesus, the one, the fourth man in the fire. That's the one that's walking with us. And, you know, and if our God can deliver us from a fire, I mean, how easy is it from a virus that makes you snot your nose a little bit? Cough a little bit of fever. I mean, how easy? I mean, and then obviously the other story was Daniel in the lion's den. But we know we have read the Bible. The Bible says we can walk on lions. I mean, Harry spent an whole night in the lion's den. And he came out. And then funny part about the other day, I saw a thing. They were doing some kind of little kids' presentation. They called it Daniel in the Shacks. You know, because, you know, Trump telling those stories about Daniel, Shadrach, you know. But, man, if we remember those stories, and, you know, those weren't just, people think they were nursery rhymes. This was not Jack and the Beanstalk, folks. All right, you know, this is not Humpty Dumpty fell off the wall type things. I mean, these are really things that actually happen. And we're worried about a virus? I mean, you know, we serve the same God that they serve. You know, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't be concerned. I'm just saying that we should put things in perspective. Our God can deliver us from lions, from, you know, from the fiery furnace, from all these things, and we're getting concerned that we might catch something that we probably won't catch. You know, so please don't buy the whole toilet paper up. I mean, leave some for somebody else. You know, now if someone was smart, I mean, you know, I'm just, this is not true, okay? Not true. I want to make sure I put it out, not true, because I don't want to have a shortage on M&M's. But if someone came up with the rumor that M&M's cures the virus, we wouldn't have any more M&M's at the stores anymore. You know? Well, that's what they should do. You know, a lot of all these Easter things, you know, saying, you know, come up with a rumor that chocolate Easter bunny cures the virus, and then, you know, they get rid of all their Easter stuff really quickly. You know, so it's not true. They don't cure viruses, but I do know what does cure the virus. Jesus Christ. It's already been cured. According to the word, my virus has already been cured before I even have the virus. You know, and I'm not trying to downplay things, and I do realize it is serious, right? People are dying. We have to realize that. You know, and I would not want to ever put anybody at risk as well. You know, I mean, you know, that's why, like, you know, my doctor, especially my dad, doesn't really like getting the flu shot. One time he said, well, your dad needs to get the flu shot. He's 80 years old now. You know, you got to put things in perspective. You need to be smart. But, you know, what would be better if we, like I said, if we started washing our hands? Well, actually, you should wash your hands every day, you know, whether the doctor tells you to or not. You know, I read this, I saw this on Facebook the other day, you know, back in the 80s, someone said by 2020 that we'd actually be flying in spaceships and, we wouldn't have cars anymore and we would actually have inhabited other planets. Fast forward to 2020 and we're learning how to wash our hands again. I mean, you know, so, I mean, we literally have doctors telling us, okay, if you wash your hands for 20 minutes, I mean, not 20 minutes, for 20 seconds, you know, it will actually get rid of more germs than if you wash them for 5 seconds. You know, and if you actually use soap, it actually clears more germs. I mean, these are literally virologists, doctors telling us on TV how to wash our hands. You know, and then I'm thinking, I mean, are we really that stupid? You know, and we should wash our hands. And we probably should wash our body too. And we probably should use toilet paper, but we might not be able to, you know, because someone's bought it all. You know, maybe, while we're at last tell everyone, you know, maybe we should use deodorant. That might be good too. I mean, you know, these are personal hygiene things that maybe your mom should have taught you even before you started school. You know, and I'm trying to be funny about it, but it is a serious thing. Because there is fear all over the world right now. People are panicking, and that's why the stock market is crashing. That's why those people are crashing. I mean, you know, the economy is trying to crash. I mean, you know, and this all comes from the devil. Remember, you know, scripture I read all the time? The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So you know what? Let's trust in the same God that can deliver us from lions, from tigers, from bears, from fires, from floods, from famines, you know, from everything. That's the God that I trust. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now for each and every person that's here. And Father God, we thank you that we do take things seriously. But Father God, help us put things in perspective and understand that you have sent your son Jesus to die upon the cross, to take the stripes on his back, and by his stripes we are healed. And we thank you, Father, that we claim the 91st Psalm over each and every person in this room and watching us online and hearing this video and seeing this. We claim the 91st Psalm over each and every one of them. That we thank you, Father, that no disease shall come near their home. No plague shall be around them. And I don't care whatever else happens. We thank you. We inoculate them with the power of the blood of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, for everything that you have done. And we thank you, Father, that we are well, that we are healthy, and that we are whole, and we are going to make it. We're going to make it as a nation. We're going to make it as a church, and we're going to march forward, and we're going to be stronger over this situation. And we thank you, Father, right now. We thank you, Father, for eradicating this deadly virus right now. We thank you. I don't know what has to happen, but we just thank you right now. We come against any power from the enemy, and we stand our ground, and we thank you, Father, that no virus and no deadly disease shall be able to touch us as we stand in your word. And we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. God is a good God. Amen. Amen. Well, the way we do things on a Wednesday night, if you need prayer for anything, whether salvation, infilling of the Holy Spirit, healing, whatever, need someone to pray with you, we have some women and some men here to pray with you at any point in time. Now, the way we do things, if you happen to be a woman, you can talk to the women. If you happen to be a man, you can talk to the men, all right? And we always say, if you don't know what you are, we have ushers that will help direct you to the correct location. We have to explain that in the age we live today. Amen. Well, let's all stand up. I don't think we have a first-time visitor, but if you are a first-time visitor and didn't want to raise your hand, we do have the connection team, and they'll take you. We have a gift for you. Amen. God is a good God. Amen. And I just encourage you not to walk in fear, but to walk in faith and to walk in health. And understand that God is still in control. God hasn't dropped you. He still has the whole world in his hands. He's still protecting you. He's still setting you free. Amen. Well, praise God. Don't forget, 10 a.m. Sunday morning, be right here. Pastor Hagin will be back. I'm from Alabama, and we'll have a wonderful time. 6 p.m. on Sunday night, and then 7 p.m. every Wednesday night. God bless you guys. Turn around, tell somebody. We claim the 91st Psalm over you, and you're dismissed.